Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Listen up, Friar faithful. 97.3 The Fan's Padres Roundtable is on the air.
Unbelievable!
It's time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. The 97.3 The Fan crew is here for the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, delivered by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And now, here's your host, Ben Higgins.
And welcome back. Week two of the 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It is pizza royalty, and it's good to see everybody in our panel back in our sound space here at our Odyssey Studios, but a new addition this week. Welcome back from the road trip to Chicago and Sacramento to Tony Gwynn Jr. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Ben. How are you guys?
Good. It's good to see you. We need a little difference of opinions here on the round table, so we'll get to some of your stories from the road trip.
Because after all that positivity, Tony's always very negative.
Yeah, totally.
that's the voice of Chris Ello, and it's funny that you should bring that up, because I wanted to start the discussion today with a wrap-up of what was a very middle-of-the-road, 3-3 road trip, but I think it's a good personality test for what kind of Padres fan you are. Do you view the 3-3 road trip as a glass half full? The Padres battled, won three games in tough conditions, really showed something? Or are you more of a glass half empty, that we started to see some cracks in the armor, some pitching deficiencies, obviously some concerning injuries, and do you feel worse after that six-game road trip of 3-3? So since, Chris, you brought up the positivity versus negativity, I'll let you start today.
I thought it was a good road trip, yep. and that's coming from me. So, you know, let's try to keep it in perspective. But you lose the first two, and you still wind up 3-3 with all, you know, the injuries at the very end. I thought the other thing that, you know, a couple of things. They hit .298 with runners in scoring position on the homestand. They hit .161 on the road trip with runners in scoring position. So they didn't get any clutch hits. They didn't do any of the things offensively that they were doing in the first homestand, but their bullpen is so good, it's masking any deficiencies they might have right now. So I feel pretty good about it. As long as those four guys at the back end stay healthy, going to be all right.
Yeah, Scraby, could it kind of been 2-4 or 1-5 with a couple of things not going the Padres' way? So how do you view 3-3 after those last six games?
I think it's a pretty good road trip, and I'm buying more and more into what Jesse and Tony are saying about how cold it was in Chicago, because you could kind of see a difference in how they played from Chicago to Sacramento, and I have to think that some of that is the weather. The only thing that we could say that didn't go right on this road trip was Jackson Merrill going on the IL and Fernando and Jake Cronenworth getting hurt, but sounds like they're possibly back tomorrow. So overall, they did what they needed to do. You just need to split your road trips and you're good to go.
Woods, you're kind of dooming hard after the 10-4 loss. You were really excited today. Overall, 3-3 road trip, where do you stand?
I loved it. I thought it was great. We talk about it all the time. You know, split those games, get home. Winning at Petco Park is something they need to do. And, you know, the take of, you know, you need to beat middling teams. You need to win those series against teams like the Oakland A's. While they're young and fun, you know, they do a lot of things that are great. You're a better team than them. Even a decimated Padres lineup was able to scratch one out yesterday. They show a lot of heart. They have shown a lot of heart already throughout this season, winning a lot of one-run ball games. So, absolutely successful road trip.
Well, I'll go to Braden next because let Tony ease his way into the round table this season. Braden, what did you think of the trip?
I thought it was a good trip. I mean, to be honest, if you could go 500, regardless of who you're playing, on the road, it's going to be a solid trip. I think bouncing back from the first 2 days in Chicago on Sunday, you know, and the deficit that they put themselves in really showed, you know, the gritty term that Mike Schilt mentioned last year that's now played into this year. I think you saw that again with, you know, a Tuesday night that did not go their way, and started off the day with a Jackson Merrill on the IL. You lose Fernando and Jake Cronenworth in the middle of the game. You lose 10-4, and then you have to bounce back very quickly and play the next day, which is very difficult to do. And they go out there and they win a gritty game against an A's team that I'm so tired of the whole, like, oh, don't call us Sacramento, don't call us Oakland. I say the city names. It's okay. But I just think that, you know, last year when they were 500, they were playing 500 ball through the first 100 games. I didn't think they were that gritty, and they would use the term gritty. But right now they're actually doing exactly what Mike Schilt said this team was. They're a gritty team, and good teams find ways to win when guys go down. I think you got to be, if you're a Padres fan, you got to be satisfied with the 3-3. Road trip.
Tony, are you wondering who are all these positive people that I have come back to this panel that just view everything so optimistically involved with the San Diego Padres?
No, I just think they finally have seen the light. No, I think they had a good road trip. I think, you know, quite frankly, they could have took 2 or 3 if that ball gets by the center fielder on that crazy dive attempt, or the third baseman doesn't pick up that in-between hop. I mean, bunch of things could have gone their way that didn't go their way in that Chicago series. And then you saw, you know, as Braden alluded to, their character. I mean, that's kind of been a developing thing from the beginning of last year till now, that kind of grit. There's just a mindset that they have that they're going to find a way to get it done. And yesterday was a good example of that. They had a bunch, boatload of hits. They couldn't get anybody in, but bullpen did their job, and they're off to a good start. It's been fun to watch.
Off to the best start, the 10-3 best record in baseball. Now they're 5-0 in one run games. There will be some one run losses at some point this season, so maybe that pace is not sustainable. But remember, that pace is over 120 wins and an all time baseball record. No one saw that from this team. They're just getting a little head start here with a good opening to the season. Now, Matt, you did mention Jackson Merrill's injury. That's a real concern, at least for a week or two. And, you know, hopefully Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jake Cronenworth do return. But the question, I think, now for the Padres, we saw some of the reserves come up and contribute in a big way yesterday. But overall, do you guys think that the Padres have the depth, if they do have to face a chunk of the season, whether it be now or later, where they're missing a couple of the regulars? You know, a Machado and a Merrill, a Tatis and a Cronenworth for it, a month and a half, because that does happen. Do they have the position player depth, Braden, to withstand that and at least tread water while their guys could be gone?
Well, I think yesterday was a showing of whether or not they had it, at least against a below than average team in the A's. But they're not, it's not like the A's team they played is one of the teams that they've had in the last 2 years in Oakland. I mean, they have some solid players. I mean, like everybody likes to say in baseball, they got paid professionals over there too. But I think that's a big reason why you go with a lot of veterans that have been there and done that before, right? Like the Jason Haywards of the world and some of these guys that they brought in. Now, a lot of those guys statistically haven't been performing to a high level, but yesterday when you needed them to come together and play a hard-nosed game, they went out there and did it. Guys like Jose Iglesias, who might not be off to the best hitting start that maybe the Padres are expecting, but can really do it with his glove. I mean, I think that all the players that got pressed into action found different ways to help contribute to the team to winning. And then on top of that, I still think you've got a couple of guys down in AAA that could probably help the ball club out at some point in time with Connor Joe and Tirso Ornelas. And, Eddie Rosario started in center last night for the Chihuahuas. And then you saw, Oscar Gonzalez came up and did a couple of good things over those couple of games. So, if they have to have those guys play the entire season, you're already in a world of hurt anyway. But to fill in for a couple of games here or there, maybe a max of a week, I think the Padres are okay.
And Woods, what this really is kind of an evaluation of A.J. Preller's offseason, because a lot of the new guys are guys that he brought in specifically on minor league one-year type deals to be these depth pieces. Did he get it right, in your opinion, so far?
Yeah, so far so good. I've said it before, if I could magic wand Jason Hayward into hitting 20 home runs and hitting 280, I would do it in a heartbeat, just because I love the guy. Watched him yesterday. We didn't talk about it on the show. Watching him busting it down the line, sliding into first, beating one out, like setting the tone for the other guys on the team. That's a guy that's been there 16 years. He's got a ring, maybe two, and knows what that team needed yesterday, and it was to set the tone. And I really wish a great season for him. But I do think, and Braden mentioned it, Connor Joe's down there, always gives you a good AB, can get on base. Tirso, yeah, it kind of remains to be seen at the big league level, certainly. But obviously that's a piece that they are interested in and want to, probably bring up at some point. But so far, so good. Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with a 10-3 record.
Tony, when you look at the depth, how patient should they be with a guy like Tirso Ornelas, who's off to a slow start at the plate? Hayward as well, knowing, as Braden and Woods mentioned, AAA, who had good springs and are off to good starts. How quickly do you make adjustments on the roster, before? Because you can't undo some of those moves once you make them.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a time limit or a segment of time that you give. I think you know it when it's time. I think we'll truly know if the depth is what it is as we get going into the season. I don't think people thought AJ had the depth last year until all of a sudden it's popped up and it had to perform, and it did. And I think that's ideally what you're looking for as a GM. You're not looking for guys necessarily that can come in and fill that exact role and run it through 162. You're looking for guys that in pockets of time, can they come in and just at the very least keep us where we're at? If we get bonus offense from them or bonus play from them, even better. And so I think right now, as everybody's really said, they're in a good spot. They got the right kind of depth. They got the guys producing enough right now. And if they need to dip into their stash, I think they won't hesitate to do so.
I think that mindset, too, that they've had, that Tony was talking about, and that grit, I think that goes a long way with guys filling in and understanding this is what we got. And there's something about that kind of clubhouse culture that regardless of what the talent is on your roster, they might be able to rise to a different level.
And, Chris, it's funny. Woods and I were talking about it this morning. Nowadays, managers will find different off days for their stars. One guy will rest on a Monday, one guy will rest on a Wednesday. Back, when I was growing up and you watched, there was always just a Sunday lineup. They'd have the regulars would be in Monday through Saturday. And on Sunday, you'd see a lot of the B-squad bombers. The reserves would get their day. And yesterday felt a lot like one of those B-squad bombers days.
It was a getaway day, yeah.
Yeah, okay, enough about all positivity.
Okay,
let's at least open it up here just a little bit. You can't be happy with what you're seeing from Yuli Gurriel yet. I don't think you can be happy with Hayward yet, the way he's swinging the bat. I'm not thrilled with Elias Diaz back there right now. I think Maldonado plays such great defense. It doesn't matter, and he also had a three-hit game. So, you know, I'm not sold on their depth right now. But again, if any team loses a Machado or a Tatis for a month and a half, it's going to hurt, and the Padres would be included. But I think they have enough depth. I don't know that they have the right depth in there yet. And I think that that's still to be determined over the next month or two. And I think that they'll get the right mixture, whether it's guys who come up, guys go down, whatever, or if they have to acquire another guy or two. But I'm not completely sold on the depth after 13 games.
You're not wrong. Obviously, you lose Tatis or you know, any top player, it hurts. But, Matt, I mean, we forget so quickly. Last season, 93 wins. They lost Tatis for months. They lost Bogarts for
Darvish.
Months during the course of that season. And they still managed to win the second most games in franchise history thanks to depth.
Yeah, I think I'm one of those people that forgets quite often about what they did last year and what they did it with. But
yes, you
are. I also think there's a couple things here. Mike Schilt talked about competition throughout all of spring training. And when these guys get to the big league team, who doesn't want to be on this team right now? Who doesn't want to be on one of the best, most exciting teams in baseball? So the competition to get there is fierce, and the competition to stay there is also fierce. And I really think that what Mike Schilt has brought to this team has completely changed the outlook. And I can't remember which player said it, but I was reading in Kevin Acey's newsletter about how they bought into this in the second half of last year, and it was a mindset throughout the entire offseason. They all thought about it all offseason, about what their approach was and what they need to do. So I think that that is what Mike Schilt is doing, and I think that the depth is going to – what Chris said is right, though. There's going to be a better mix at some point for this team.
Perfect segue here.
And Xander Bogaerts, too. Like, Xander Bogaerts, we need to give him a little bit of credit now. Yeah.
He's playing well. He's absolutely playing well. It's a perfect segue to my next question here about Schilt Ball on our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, brought to you by Roundtable Pizza. San Diego Roundtable Pizza, it really is pizza royalty. So we're seeing a lot of the same things this year as we did last year. The Padres, last check, led MLB in batting average as a team. They're top four in stolen bases. They're being aggressive. But they're in the bottom half in power numbers, home runs. They're not hitting a lot of those. In modern baseball, and let me start with Tony this time, is that going to be an effective strategy, or do they need more slug and more power from their stars? I assume we're going to see some of that, but they've definitely got an average first approach, a very Tony Gwynn-like approach, as it were.
And your question is,
can they be sustainably successful without being, you know, one of the top 10 home run hitting teams in baseball?
I mean, I think that's already been proven at this point. If that means, if you're asking, does that mean they're going to get to a World Series? I don't think you really know. I think that also goes for the teams that are in the top five in power. They don't know if that's going to be sustainable all the way through, but it gives them a shot. And I think what we learned last year, and when you compare it to the year before, based on the type of at-bats you saw, the type of approaches you saw, what we learned is that that approach fits this roster better. We saw what it looked like when we were trying to hit the three-run homer. We were trying to get the big inning. And a lot of times it left a lot of runners on base, and you end up losing a lot of close games. And the flip side of that last year was you started winning all those close games. Not all of them, but most of them. And I think that approach plays. It's not just a base hit approach. That's the thing. It may be a base hit approach here in April and March when it's cool, but as it starts to warm up, you'll start to see the slug pop up a little bit more, as we saw pretty much in the second half of last season. So I'm all in on this approach. I think it's a lot more fun for people to watch as spectators. And it's just a lot better game, selfishly, a lot better game to call.
No doubt.
When 1 through 9 are giving you those type of at-bats.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, we've made the point a few times, Woods, on our show that we feel bad for fan bases on other teams that don't get this brand of entertaining baseball on a nightly basis. But Chris, you know, you're never afraid to think a little bit outside the box and differently. This is a different way. Modern, you know, sabermetric baseball tells, hey, walk a lot and wait for the 3-run home run. Don't risk yourself on the base paths. Batting average is too susceptible to BABIP and, you know, line drives that are outs. Home runs and walks are the only true ways for offense. Padres are doing it differently. That's a risk when you do things differently than other teams.
Maybe so. But if this team was relying on the 3-run home run, they'd be in big trouble because they haven't hit one yet. I think they've only hit 2 home runs with somebody on base. Everything else has been a solo shot. But I also think that their approach has won at least 2 games this year. One of them was yesterday. Xander Bogaerts, an aggressive tag to go from second to third. Yeah. He would have been out had the throw been absolutely perfect, but it wasn't, and he made it, and that set him up to score the winning run eventually on the sacrifice fly. Earlier in the season, Elias Diaz laid down a 2-strike bunt that moved 2 runners over and won a ball game. Nobody sacrifices anymore. Nobody takes chances on the bases anymore, except this team's doing it, and I like it.
Did a seagull just land on our window?
Yeah, 2 seagulls.
Behind me. Gulliver's hanging out over there.
I'm hearing the sounds of the ocean. Like
they were
like landing and kind of fighting over there.
Did our office move?
I thought I said something really exciting, but evidently not.
What is going
there
on?
There was a seagull fighting.
I saw everybody's reaction. I'm like, boy, this is really working.
Yeah, look, you can see it on the camera. We're hanging out.
I felt like
outside.
I was in a Finding Nemo movie for a second.
Oh, yeah, they're on there.
What's going on here? We're on the 6th floor. Sometimes they hang out off there. The 15 freeway. It sounds like I'm at the ocean.
It's the good luck. We had the Rally Roach last year. We've got the Padres Seagulls this year. The Seagulls.
The Gulls want to mention.
Yeah, it's hard to. I've lost my train of thought.
You're good
at this point. Let's see. Oh yeah, Schilt ball. Braden, your thoughts on Schilt ball here?
I like it. I like, you know, it's kind of like it's a little bit of like the old school, you know, kind of Southern California college baseball, you know, approach of playing a little small ball, but being aggressive. You know, with my experience of working with USD baseball, they got a term of if we're going to fail, we're going to fail aggressively. And that seems to be, you know, kind of the case of the San Diego Padres. As Chris mentioned, you know, Xander yesterday, if that throw is a perfect throw, he's nailed. But, you know, you want to see the aggression. And that's what we talked about last week. It's whether or not you know, as a fan, when you talk about some of these moves, you know, you're either for the aggression or you're not. You're not for the aggression when it works and then against the aggression when it doesn't work, right? So there's going to be times where they're aggressive and they'll run into outs and they'll run out of runs and people will get frustrated, but that's the game you play playing that style of baseball. I like the way that they're, you know, they're doing the pass the baton kind of approach. I like the simplicity of just trying to get hits. And the thing is, and Tony knows and he mentioned it, When you're hitting line drives and you're focused on hitting line drives, you know, eventually you're going to get a hold of one and it's going to go over the fence and you're going to get that slug. But what this does is it gives your offense an ability to win in multiple ways instead of just living and dying with the home run. There's going to be games the Padres win solely on home runs.
Yep.
There's going to be games that they win because they get a bunt down. There's going to be games that they win because they just hit doubles of the gap. When you have a team that's that versatile, you're going to win a lot of baseball games instead of being one-dimensional on, you know, we just got to hit the ball out of the yard and have the analytical high slug that you see in current baseball. I love this style of play because, again, you get to win. You find different ways to win, and you need that when you want to compete for a World Series.
And, Woods, I think continuity plays a part in that as well. Last year, it was new to these guys, you know, being aggressive and playing the way Mike Schilt wanted. They looked much more comfortable at it at the start of this season.
Well, and every player on this roster, when you ask them to do or when they try to go outside of that, they're really at their worst. When Manny is at his most locked in, it's right center, and it is like it's like a work of art. You know, when Manny's going right center gap, when Luis Arraez is just doing what Luis Arraez does and not trying to do too much, great. Jackson Merrill, same thing. Fernando Tatis Jr., you're in the leadoff spot, man. Get on base. Don't strike out. He's doing all that, and he's hitting some home runs too. If these guys stick to their strengths and they can do it for 162, I shudder to think what the record's going to look like at the end of the year, really. I mean, once you try to do too much, there's the oldest saying in baseball that I heard was do less. Don't try to do too much.
Just saw it on Tuesday too.
See the ball, hit the ball hard. Good things will happen every time. And, you know, the team doesn't strike out a ton. It's such a better brand of baseball, man. It really is. It's night and day.
I also think that the pendulum, like, I don't know that we're going to be able to keep saying that all these teams are viewing it offense from that same lens. You're already starting to see the pendulum kind of swing back where multiple teams are having this approach that we sometimes call, you know, just trying to get hits, but it's really just back to hitting the ball on a line drive and having a variety in their lineup where it's not, you know, a bunch of Manny Machados, although I'm sure most teams would love to have a bunch of Manny Machados. Just in terms of that style, right? Like there's a variety, and you're starting to see that start to happen across baseball. It's not just here in San Diego.
Well, we talked to, you know, Saris a lot on our show, and he's such a brilliant baseball mind, and he talks about how you have to have nine guys in the lineup with nine different swings, or the pitcher knows exactly how to get those nine. If you're all Kyle Schwarber, I'm going to know how to get you guys out.
Absolutely.
And I love Kyle Schwarber. What I wouldn't do to have a guy that with 47 home run power in this lineup, but it's not the way that this team is built. And I'm sure we could find a spot for a Kyle Schwarber in that lineup somewhere, but the way that they're doing it is just different, and it's enjoyable. And it's, people say old school. I don't know why we ever got away from it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's easier to win with a bunch of three-run homers, but, man, this is sure.
Those are hard to come
they're
by.
They're hard to come by. They're really, really hard to do.
Well, to pick up what Woods was saying, too, I think you saw it Tuesday when you know, no Merrill, Tatis goes out, Cronenworth goes out. All of a sudden,
and Manny's a, you know, Manny starts swinging at that slider low and away.
And that
it looks
up.
Like he's trying to just do everything himself.
Yep.
And he went away from what he had success at the beginning of the year. And then yesterday wasn't doing it anymore.
Correct.
Right. And that's human nature, right? You go up there, like, you look at the scoreboard, you feel like you could try to get the runs back, or you got to, you know, try to do a little bit more, and then it puts you, you know, behind the eight ball a little bit.
Every time Jeffrey Springs found that changeup on that at bat to Manny, and Manny was. Three times, and it's like,
and he spit on that all year until that.
To be fair, it wasn't just Manny; it was everybody. Like, and so Springs just used that to his advantage, just going to keep throwing pitches off the plate.
And they were hacking because they were down, and they're trying to scratch runs out. Yeah. And you know, it's just when they stay with who they are and what Mike Schilt has been preaching, this team is so dirty. Even missing those guys yesterday,
and the continuity that he said too. When you know the guy behind you can get the job
Absolutely.
Done, you're like, all right, I'll sit on it, I'll walk, I'll pass the baton to the next guy. I know he's going to get the job
That's
done.
Right.
And you saw that again yesterday.
It's been awesome.
All right, let's change topics here on the 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty, and I specifically wanted to start with Matt Scraby on this question because I don't know if you guys talked about it on your show. It was a nugget this week from the Kevin Acey newsletter about Luis Arraez and the cold shoulder he's getting from umpires after comments. He was quoted in the offseason saying, umpires did a really bad job last year. They heard that, and now when he goes up and says his usual cheerful hello, at least some, if not all the umpires are not even responding to Luis Arraez.
Come on,
and I
man.
Could specifically see Matt kind of having a hot take on that. So I wanted to start with you and just see where
right.
we go on the Scraby train here.
Because that's how Matt would treat – that's how he would treat Luis Arraez.
Venturing in the Scraby stand.
I actually heard Tony and Jesse talking about this on the way down, and I was surprised at Tony's reaction to it a little bit, because Luis Arraez says that he doesn't think that they're calling strikes balls and strikes differently, so he's not saying that. But – are umpires some of the softest people in the entire universe? Like, you can't have one guy say that you were bad last year and just move on. Like, how many times do we get messages about how we stink at our jobs? We move on. Umpires hold on to this stuff.
Yeah, you move right on, Scraby. You never
like, who is this guy?
Right? You never obsess about one negative tweet that you get.
And to ignore a guy because – and I think there was a translation problem as well, or – Tony, you can tell me about
that. Yeah, I want to know what Tony has to say.
I think that, you know, the English is Luis's second language. And it came out how it came out. But I don't know. Knowing Luis, it's hard to believe that that's how...
He didn't want to call them bad.
Right. There was a more tactful way of getting to that. I just don't know that he was capable of getting to that, right? Secondly, listen. If we read that an umpire had said that we were trash... we would feel as a player.
Okay.
Because you're kind of in that, I know umpires and players, but they're all kind of in that same fraternity in terms of Major League Baseball. So I can imagine that rubbed some guys the wrong way. The trip part is that it was one of the umpires that tipped Luis off. Like, hey, man, I just want you to know.
We saw this.
This is going around. And so.
imagine being mad at that guy.
Right.
If it's Bryce Harper or somebody like that has been thrown out a bunch. If it's Bryce Harper, you're like, oh, shocker, he's got a problem. You got to look at the man.
I agree.
I agree. Nice.
I agree. And, you know, listen, I think there have always been certain umpires that, you know, are a little bit more sensitive to those type of things than others. But I also think it also speaks to Luis's character that he got out in front of it.
Said, I'm sorry.
And said, hey, listen, that's not what I meant. I apologize. Yeah, as you said, Luis has a good rapport with all those guys. You see him every game come in. He taps the umpire on his shin guard, says what's up. I can imagine he was probably feeling that, which is why he felt like he had to apologize.
Is it true that he has tried to speak to these umpires and they do not respond to him?
Because
if that's true, that's even
crazier. I'm not down there. I don't know. That's what Luis said. He feels like he's getting a cold shoulder. Listen, there are times where I can remember saying something to the umpire and he might not have heard me.
Okay.
Like
right.
The crowd's cheering as they're giving your name. But if he's saying it happened, it probably happened more than once.
So stand for Luis.
I imagine that there's those couple that were probably feeling salty about it. I imagine
that's elementary playground stuff.
That's right.
The silent treatment. Let's see what the resident whistleblowing official.
Why are you
on the panel?
Yeah,
let's see what the resident official has to say about this.
For a resident referee, Chris Ello.
You just called umpires and officials basically soft.
Umpires.
I am going to come over there and smack you.
Umpires.
Have you... Even umpires. I mean, no, they never get a home game. They get booed for every single thing they do. We don't hear everything that's even said. You can't imagine
it. I agree.
We have managers and players both screaming obscenities from the dugout on every ball and strike, Aaron Boone. So don't tell me that umpires are soft. You don't get that job if you're soft.
But isn't that part of the job? Isn't that when you sign up for the job, you sign up for all of that that comes with it?
Well, if a guy says I suck, then I'm going to get up there and suck. Sorry. And
see, that's the wrong attitude.
To be fair, that's not what these umpires are doing.
No. Like, they're good. Yeah.
They're calling the game as it's called. I just want to make sure.
The other thing is no matter who the umpires are, it really doesn't matter because it took 58 bats to finally strike that guy out.
Yeah.
And you had to hit him with a pitch to do it.
That's right.
So it's not really having a big effect on him.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. He's fine. It's the goading umpires that always bother me. It's the one that are spoiling for a fight. You know, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Well, was it Laz Diaz the other night?
Yeah.
Terrible job.
I mean, they absolutely can have bad days, too. You know, I am sympathetic to that. And I don't argue with umpires nearly as much as I used to. So I appreciate the gig. But, do your job. And, again, know the man. Luis Arraez is, like, the best, most gregarious guy in Major League Baseball. And you can't cold shoulder that guy.
Yeah. Luis is a lot different from a lot of players. He is actually engaging.
Engaging,
yeah. So, like, I don't necessarily see why they felt salty about that.
Yeah.
And I think if there's a lesson here, again, you know, translation and Luis, what he was trying to say is, don't speak in generalities.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there were some umpires who had some bad seasons. Probably some umpires who had really good seasons.
Well, by the way,
last year.
Hitters like him and like your dad, if the umpire calls one that they don't agree with, the umpire inherently knows they're wrong. They know that inherently. They're like if Tony Gwynn says that's off, that's probably off. If Luis Arraez says that's off, that's probably off. And they know. They're looking at themselves going, oh, God. Now, if it's Oscar Gonzalez, he's like, shut up, kid. Get back to the dugout. But these guys are like, I blew it. I absolutely blew that call. And
there's
nine out of 10 times, if they went back and looked, they'd be like, yep, that was off.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, because those guys, they don't miss. They don't miss.
That's probably why it hurt, too.
Oh, yeah.
That he did it that way. You
That's exactly right.
They already respect him, but then it was like, man, you're just going to throw us under the bus. All of us under the bus.
Back up over us.
All right, gentlemen. I'm going to ask for a volunteer to go first on this one. ESPN yesterday did their early MLB hot takes, including a couple of Padres ones. I think Buster Olney predicted a top three MVP finish for Fernando Tatis Jr. Less than 20 strikeouts for Luis Arraez. Finally took one yesterday. Had to get hit by the pitch to strike out.
Dirty slide.
The only time he didn't hit, he got hit. But does anybody have any now after 2 weeks? Padres hot takes.
I personally don't. I'll go first. I don't think Buster's is a hot take, really. I mean, Tati is. He just seems. And this was before we even got to see the season. He just seems primed to really give a good run at that MVP. I think he is. I think more than anything else, I think mentally, he is in a really good place. I mean, I can't remember a time since he's been with the organization that he's been like this, like engaging, this like kind of just calm and like he just seems
confident.
He's always been confident, but now there's just like
that
this calmness
that
I just you sense when you're around him. And you know, hopefully the shoulder thing is not a big issue at all, because I think he's headed that direction.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'll throw one out. Because this is very unlikely to happen. You don't see it very often in Major League Baseball anymore, considering how careful they are with starters. Michael King to win 20 baseball games this year for the San Diego Padres. Wow. He's added even more movement, which I didn't think was possible. He's 2-0 now in his 3 starts, so he's off to a good start. I was going to look up who the last Padre 20-game winner was, but I realized I have Chris Ello next to me. You know the answer
is
to that
human
one? Is it
no?
Was it Bruce Hurst? Was
no, I think Randy Jones and Gaylord Perry are the only two that have ever won.
It's been a really long time.
I think they're the only two that have ever done it.
You don't see many 20-game winners in baseball anymore because guys don't go deep into games, but You know, you need offense to win games as well as a pitcher. Michael King's pitching for a contract this year. You know, I feel like he's going to have a good season, and maybe we'll see something rare.
Bullpen looks good, too.
Bullpen's going to hold a lot of those leads.
If the bullpen gives it up, you don't get a decision.
It's a good way to get to 20 wins, which you don't see much anymore. Woods?
Randy Jones and Gaylord Perry.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
But ESPN, according to AI, ESPN predicts that Zach King may be the fourth
Zach,
in 2025.
I don't
even,
Zach King.
The fourth? Who's the other one? Oh, Randy Jones did it twice. Yeah, Zach King, who we don't even have yet. That's, is, yeah, that's it right there. Zach King will win. That's my hottest take.
Zach King. No,
my hottest take is Zach King will not win 20 this year. He will not.
How could you say that?
Going against AI.
Are we combining Zach Gallen, Zach Eflin, and Michael King into one?
Zach King, who we don't know.
Is that a CK? Or is it CH?
G-A-C-K. Okay. We don't know.
So it's not a Zach.
We don't know who he is yet.
And
he
AI will is win running 20. Everything, huh?
He's gonna, yeah, AI is running everything. All right. You guys good want AI to take the place of this, huh?
Do you want a wild prediction?
Yeah.
A wild prediction. That I hot don't take. Think is actually going to come true, but could come true. MVP, Cy Young, and reliever of the year for the National League on the Padres wow. this year.
That's a hot take.
That is a hot take.
I mean, Fernando can win the MVP. We got Zach King who can win Cy Young.
Zach King can do it all.
And Robert Suarez is a 6-for-6 right now.
No hits allowed. No hits. Robert Suarez either, which is incredible. Chris, any
I'm not going to offer takes? One because no. The only one I offered during the offseason was Luis Campusano is going to make the All-Star team.
That's
not looking too good at the moment.
He might always be his coaching
hot take. He could make the AAA All-Star team. He's off to a good start.
Oh, yes.
That counts.
You specify, which All-Star
go back to the tape. Go back to the tape.
I will give specify. That to Chris. I'll give it to him.
Go back
didn't
to the
specify.
Tape. Braden, any hot takes
I think,
here?
I think it might not be that hot. Maybe a lukewarm take. But I think Xander Bogaerts is going to have a top five WAR season in his career. So when you look at his career overall seasons, I think he'll, you know, and just to show that he's poised for a really good year. You know, his first year with the Padres, he had a top five WAR season in his career. He had a 4.4 WAR. You know, and people seem to forget that. I love the start that he's off to. He's a very likable guy. I love the way he handles the media. I like the way he's a pro's pro. I think having him in the organization is phenomenal. I think he gets too much of a bad rap from Padres fans, and in fact, I'm sick and tired of hearing it every single day about how much that guy sucks when
take
he doesn't.
Take it up with that guy on the end over there. He
I thinks, don't complain about
he
Xander
thinks
Bogaerts.
That Xander Bogaerts makes too much money.
And ought to get it. That's not his fault. That's not his fault. So I have planted my flag. A couple of weeks ago, I'm going to be the biggest Xander Bogaerts supporter because
no, Mike Shildt's the biggest.
Yeah, well,
one,
you know so that's fine.
Stand in line. You can't get through a Shildty news conference without a comment about Xander Bogaerts.
But he's off to a good. He's hitting the ball harder than he's had in a long time. You know, if you look at his hard hit percentage, it's the hardest this season than any other season in his career, and he's already the hardest hit ball that he hit so far this year is in the top 3% of Major League Baseball. He hit that ball against Atlanta at 112 miles an hour. I think that is showing that he's healthy, his wrist is ready to go, and I think you're going to have a pretty good season out of Xander Bogaerts.
Can I address Chris real quick? Because I do not want Xander Bogaerts slander put on my name. I love Xander Bogaerts.
Does
maybe,
he?
You know, I do get on athletes' cases for making a lot of money and not performing. But who's to say that
Padres offered the contract?
Well, that's very true, and he took the contract. I think Xander Bogaerts is great for this team. I even did a whole segment on the Scraby Show last year when he was struggling about why he's going to turn it around. So check that tape, Chris.
I'm combining.
Wow. Shakes his head.
Speechless. Drop the mic.
More show to get to.
I'm combining the roundtable, the draft, and the seventh inning stretch into one today. And I'll get to the question in a second. But first, I wanted to ask Tony specifically, how is Sutter Health Park, really? I mean, how is playing baseball, Major League Baseball, in a minor league park? Your impressions?
I thought they did a good job.
Did you have a mushroom sandwich?
I did not have a mushroom sandwich.
Mushrooms. I do, too. I hate mushrooms, too.
So I didn't have a mushroom sandwich. Listen, I think nobody had their mindset on it. I think everybody understood what they were walking into. Sutter Health Field has always been one of the higher-end AAA parks. I mean, at least when I was playing, they had set attendance records for so many consecutive years. So I thought it was good. I thought it was fine.
Did you go in the media shed?
I did go in the media shed. No, I did not go in the media
you
shed.
You saw the media
shed. Was there a part of it for these guys that might have even been –
A little fun? Like, it's because it's different?
I think I think for the road team, you could probably run into that, right? Yeah. You're only there for 2 days, yeah. 2 nights, and usually you're leaving on the third day. Yep. So, like, probably around the time it's starting to get a little tight, things are starting to get a little uncomfortable, you're leaving. However, for the home team, I wonder how long that's going to be before they start to – because they all of them, to a man, had, like, the best mindset about it.
Yeah.
Going into the year. But I imagine when you get into July and that 100-degree weather is coming down on your head.
You're going to start looking forward to
it. Exactly. But I thought all in all, it was pretty good.
Three of that as well.
All right, so that leads me into our roundtable draft/seventh-inning stretch question. Remember the rules?
Wait, what is this?
All right, so everyone gets to pick. I ask a question, and you can't pick the same answer that's already been taken. So you have to come up with your own, even if you wanted to steal it. So today's question is... Outside of Petco Park, what's your favorite baseball venue? Why? And it can be a major league park, minor league, college, high school, whatever. What's your favorite baseball venue? Tony, you seem to have an answer. I'll let you take the first draft pick today.
It was really cold, but Wrigley Field is by far.
You love Wrigley.
It is the best of the best to me. Outside of this place here, if you like the history of the game, if you just like the old school setting, I don't know. There's something about that place when you walk in it, you just feel like it's
Do you feel that baseball. Way when you're hauling your gear up the ramp?
that's more Dave Marcus hauling.
Dave,
I got a backpack
Wrigley.
On, so I'm pretty light going up.
What about when it's 40 degrees?
That's the thing is, even though I was as cold as I've ever been in Chicago this last time, I still
love
enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like it is watching a game from, especially where I get to watch the game from now, watching a game from that view, there really isn't a whole lot like it.
Woods, you lived in Chicago. You got the second pick. Did he steal your pick?
No. I used to love going to Wrigley Field. But I was drunk a lot, you know, when I went there. So,
as you should be.
Man, I got to tell you, I was really impressed with Oracle last year. That was one of the best experiences. We took the whole family up for my wife's birthday. It was spectacular. Like, spectacular.
That's another one.
Great area around the ballpark, great food at the ballpark. The people were reasonably pretty cool and friendly, and Padres dominated that night. It was just a perfect night. So that stands out for me. I haven't been to a ton of the new ones. Old Yankee Stadium was insane to go to. Yeah, absolutely insane.
No fair taking a whole bunch of answers.
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't know you traded up for the draft.
No old stadiums. But, yeah, I'd say Oracle was – I really look forward to going back.
All right, Braden, what's your draft pick here?
You know, you said any baseball venue
yeah.
But I'm going to stick with the major leagues. I really like watching games at Coors Field. I think Coors Field's a pretty cool ballpark. You know, from the fan experience, you know, the rooftop that they have in right, it's very Petco Park like like a Colorado vibe. Obviously, you got the beautiful view of the Rocky Mountains, and I think the way that they did their park is awesome. The rooftop, as mentioned, they have fire pits up there, and it's pretty cool. They got the mile high seats like in the top deck. So, I really enjoyed going to Coors Field. I thought it was a cool experience.
Right. I'm going to go next because I don't think I'm going to steal anyone's answer. I've been to all three, and they're all terrific. But I'm going way off the board, and I don't think any of you have ever been there, but I've been there four times. I think Williamsport, Pennsylvania, League World Series, Lamedy Stadium there, maybe the best venue I've ever witnessed baseball.
That's cool.
It's such an amazing atmosphere at the end of summer with the kids out there. And everything that goes on, it is so special, and it's such you're transported back in time almost. You drive hours from like Philadelphia to get to Williamsport, which is in the middle of the state, and there's a river and a bunch of trees, and all of a sudden this stadium, everyone played Little League here, you know, and like you always dreamed of getting there, and you never came close. And then I got to go as a reporter four times and be there, and it was like, wow, this was my kid dream, every kid's dream, and I'm getting to watch these kids live out the dream in this stadium.
That's
so
legit.
I'll pick that one as mine. Scraby?
Last year's Oakland Coliseum. I'm kidding, everybody. You should see the
nobody laughs.
We didn't find that funny.
Nobody laughs.
Faces. That fell so flat. I thought I was going to get a few chuckles.
Not even the seagulls gave
Can we
laugh.
Move on, please? Now I'm crawling out of my
The
skin.
Seagulls out there very stern no, after that
yeah,
comment.
Yeah, even the seagulls didn't laugh.
What you guys don't
laugh.
Know is this is a normal situation that happens on a show.
Yeah, welcome to our lives, everybody.
I have to say, I was at Jackie Robinson Stadium over the weekend.
Hey, it's not your turn.
I thought it was a pretty good park. You said Oakland Coliseum.
No, I did not.
Moving on.
I'm going to go with Fenway. When I've been to Fenway three times, and the first time I went was magical, and it was also when I was a drinker. So I sat in left field near Pesky's pole. We did the Sweet Caroline.
That'd be right field because left field is the monster.
Oh, sorry, right field. Yeah, the monster. Right. Right field, Pesky. I was looking at it from my view
you're
of my seat.
On the other
seat.
Side, though, looking.
I guess you could see.
The other way around,
I'm looking from my seat. I can still remember it. But we did the whole Sweet Caroline thing, and it's just. It's like one of those. It's like Wrigley. When you walk in, you just feel history. Yeah. Babe Ruth played there. Like guys like that played there.
After hearing that, I'm not really convinced you actually were at Fenway Park.
I'll show you pictures, but I don't remember that first. So.
All right, and I believe Chris, you get the toughest pick.
Thanks.
The last one today.
I think all of mine were taken. Yankees, Fenway, Wrigley would be my top three. I like Coors Field, but you left me with no other choice.
Don't do it.
Than to pick what?
Don't do it.
I don't. Are you going to?
Oh, no, I'm not going to.
Oh, okay.
even though I spent much of my childhood going to games there, I'm not going to go there.
Good.
I think the best view in Major League Baseball is at PNC Park in Pittsburgh.
It ranks high every
it's
time.
It's unbelievable.
I
have been there once, and I didn't even watch the game. I sat there looking at the vista of the bridges and everything behind it. So I that was kind of what was left to me.
What's the best press box view, Tony?
Not that one.
That's
up there near Nationals.
I was like,
roof. Views you like, and any venue applies. I don't know if anyone's ever been to Point Loma.
Oh, yeah.
Ballpark.
Yeah. I heard that one's beautiful.
That is play a game there. It was
pretty spectacular.
I couldn't
right
vote for that. I gave up way too many home runs into that ocean.
All right, we've got a couple of minutes left. The Colorado Rockies are coming to town.
Oh man.
So, oh, God. So let's dig into this, because Woods and I did some research, then I went back and did even more research. Since 2010, the Colorado Rockies, Chris, you would know, you followed them pretty closely, been a pretty bad team. Two playoff appearances, I think, since then in 2017 and 2018. Outside of that, mostly third through last place finishes in the NL West. Yet, they have a 10 games above 500 record against the Padres over that stretch. Better against the Padres than any other team in the NL West. Why? Why do the Padres play consistently so poorly against the Rockies?
I don't think they play so poorly against the Rockies. I think the Rockies, for some reason, play above what they normally do. Brenton Doyle will be Mickey Mantle this weekend. Yep. Ezekiel Tovar will be Barry Larkin. Michael Tolia will find his power stroke. You know, Marquez will pitch, you know, like Bob Gibson. They seem to play above their level. From, you know, watching the Rockies a lot, my wife's from Denver, so we do watch. And they just normally play terrible baseball. They play the Padres. They look like they know what they're doing. So I don't know that it's the Padres. And the only answer I have to it that makes any sense to me is maybe just a little of the Bud Black factor. Maybe he gets his guys up to play, you know, his former team. But otherwise, I have no explanation.
Braden, like this time, literally, it will be the team with the best record in baseball against the team with the worst record in baseball when the Rockies come to town tomorrow. Yet Padres fans will all be chewing on their fingernails for this series because they know what the Rockies have done in the past.
Yeah, I've seen Kyle Freeland shut us down multiple times and then get absolutely shelled by everybody else around Major League Baseball. So I don't really know. I was going along with what Chris had to say. I mean, maybe it's the Bud Black factor. I mean, you know, they got two local kids coming into town too. I don't know if that's going to be a huge factor with Mickey Moniak and Sean Bouchard. But, I don't know why the Padres can't beat them. I mean, the only thing you would say would – you know, play down to the level of competition. But as Chris said, I mean, it's not like the Padres play that poorly against Colorado. I mean, the Rockies seem to turn it on. And you know what? When you are a team that is the, you know, hunted instead of the hunter, you're going to get a lot of teams' best shot, and you're going to get the Rockies' best shot probably more than a lot of teams outside of San Diego and L.A. for the Colorado Rockies.
Tony, are we looking for an explanation that doesn't exist? I thought maybe 2023, the team that
never really took anything that seriously. They did okay against the Rockies, yeah. Yet last year's team that played like, you know, every game was the World Series, they did terribly against the Rockies.
Yeah, I don't know. Going back to 2010, that's a long time ago.
And Tony was playing back. Tony was back playing.
Padres had some pretty bad teams in that time frame too. So I mean, I don't know that going back that far helps. But I don't think there is an answer. I think last year we played the Rockies relatively early when we lost some of those games before we turned into the team we turned into.
They were hot going into a bunch of those series too. They had started playing well before.
Yeah,
they
but we were,
Padres.
But we were still doing the three yeah. games above 500, two games below 500 a lot of those games took place. When we got them at the end of the year, I think Padres took care of business in that last series. But I just think it's one of those things. It seems like all good teams have that one team that for whatever reason they just don't play well against, or the other team plays better than who they are.
Have experience like. You have anything that comes to mind when you're a player about maybe a team when you're a part of an organization? It's like, man, I don't know why we can't beat these guys.
It's been so long since I played. I can't remember, honestly.
The Dodgers back in, what was it, late 80s, early 90s, they had the problem with the Padres. Like,
yeah, the Padres used
again.
To beat them up.
I remember the Padres owned the Giants.
Shoot, when the Giants were in their run, we used to wear them out all the time.
Right, yeah.
But, it's just kind of how it goes. I don't know that there's a real explanation. Hopefully it'll be different starting tomorrow.
But Woods, like this year, maybe it's the year they can least afford it when the rest of the NL West is so tough and you expect the Dodgers and Diamondbacks and now Giants to beat up on the Rockies like they always do. Padres can't afford to give up 5 or 6 games in the standings against the Rockies compared to the other teams.
No doubt. The pressure's on squarely on the backs of the San Diego Padres at home. This weekend, it's the series that I hate the most every single year since I moved here in 2010. I feel like I'm always end up at one of those games.
There's
somehow.
The explanation. Woods came in 2010. We got it.
It's true. I'll be going Saturday night, and I fully expect this to happen just because that's what I've seen. It's you have to beat up on those teams. All those really great teams that would win the division every year. They beat the crap out of the lower-level teams. You just have to do it. You have to do it. These games are really, really important. Every mistake is magnified. They seem to take advantage of every mistake. They're young. They're a young, hungry team. They got something to prove. They want to beat Manny Machado. They want to beat Xander Bogaerts. They want to beat Tatis Jr. They do. So the target's on your back. You gotta find a way to win the series, man.
Just to piggyback a little, sorry, but they do. The Rockies do go 0-12 against the Dodgers and Giants every year.
Right.
I mean, so it's true. They beat the Padres. They really don't beat the other teams at all.
At all.
Yeah.
So I think that's a myth. I really do. I mean, I know that those two particular teams you're talking about, yes. But good teams lose to bad teams all the time, and they don't always have great success. I will say this. Padres are playing the Rockies. Cubs are playing the Dodgers. Yankees are playing the Giants. So, we could talk about Rockies and Padres. Padres lose 2 or 3. Those same things can happen to the other team.
Yeah.
It's a wash. It's early in the season.
Sure. So, Dodgers almost got swept by the Nationals. Not that the Nationals are terrible, but it happens.
Right.
Matt, you don't seem afraid of supernatural explanations. Is there a curse?
I would. I actually
Ben clearly listens to
you. I do. You know me very, very well. I was going to say, because everybody said everything that I was thinking, but the curse of Charlie Blackman's beard is gone. So maybe that's
true.
We have Dylan
Cease. He's been there since 2010.
We have Dylan Cease's beard now, though.
Yeah, which Chris and I have determined that Dylan Cease needs to shave his beard to go back to the mustache.
He's got to go back to the Doc Holliday mustache.
It hasn't worked out for him.
He needs
so
to go back to being Doc Holliday.
We've seen Charlie Blackman's beard.
Yeah, he's still with the organization, though. He's still with the organization. So
but he can't
I imagine
get a home run.
Can he not come to San
That's
Diego?
What I'm saying. I imagine
saying.
He'll be
if
in
he
the
If he walks
street.
Out of the dugout, we're in trouble.
he's brutal.
Just last couple of minutes. Let's forget about the Dodgers for a second, since we're talking about the NL West, though. Giants off to a really hot start. I think we all thought the Diamondbacks were kind of the wild card team to watch. Is anybody more worried about the Giants now after the start that they've gotten off on? Woods, you're not.
Yeah, of course.
Like
yeah.
More worried about them in general,
than
or more worried
the
about them
the
than
season.
The Diamondbacks,
and or more worried about them than the Diamondbacks.
I'm worried about everybody in the NL West, and especially the Colorado Rockies. I'm not, said it. There's not a team in the West.
There's not
a team in the West that I'm not afraid of.
You're not worried about the Rockies acing anybody out for a wild card.
Correct.
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 You're worried about the game specifically against their team.
You know, there's a way the Rockies could ace the Padres out of a wild card spot by beating them a bunch of times, and we don't get a wild card spot because
he is clearly concerned.
Very. But the Giants are terrifying, man, and you know they're also finding ways to get it done without a ton of star power.
Speaking of pendulum swinging, right? That was a team that was platooning and doing all of the there with Buster on. I almost called him Buster on. Buster Posey running the ship there. They're playing a very similar fashion of baseball that we're watching here in San Diego. I thought that team from the moment that they signed Adonis and they got Chapman
locked up. Yep.
I thought this team was going to be the real wild card in the division. Just from the standpoint, nobody was expecting. I think the Diamondbacks aren't sneaking up on anybody at this point. I think they should be regarded as a top tier team. The Giants have a lot of the ingredients that could cause a lot of trouble at the end of the year.
I predict they'll go away quickly. They have two starting pitchers that I see. Robbie Ray and Logan Webb. I think they wasted a ton of money on Verlander. He looks like he can't get through the first inning so far. I don't think they have the depth to keep up with the rest of the division.
Brad, I agree with Chris. I don't think it's sustainable for what they currently have. I think they'll probably be a nuisance for a long period of time. In terms of division, you always got to be worried about everybody in division. I'm still worried more about the Diamondbacks if I had to pick over the Giants.
Gentlemen, it's been a fast hour. I want to thank everybody for joining us on the 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. That pizza is calling to us from right over there. Tony, it was good to have you for the first time this season. And
good to be here.
Home this week for the Rockies and the Cubs coming to town. So some games at Petco Park coming up. We'll talk to you next Thursday with another edition of the Roundtable. For Matt Scraby, Stephen Woods, Tony Gwynn Jr., Braden Sprented, Chris Ello, and the Seagulls out on the perch that enjoyed the show as well, probably hoping for some pizza. I'm Ben Higgins. Live Braden Sprented shows coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to dirtylabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at Ring.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.